The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back. Lord knows they'll try to silence our voices.
All right, folks, we are back on this Friday, 30th of November, 2018. Just a month and a day to the new year comes, and I can't wait until that happens. go ahead and say something. See if people recognize your voice, sir.
I don't know if I recognize my voice. I'm listening to your opening with this, a month and a day before the new year starts. I've finally come to the realization, John, that 25-odd years we've known each other, the minutes run into the next minutes, the hours, the weeks, the days.
Yes.
Time means nothing, because I, honest to God, I've got to ask you this because I've been meaning to. Mm-hmm. All the years we've known each other, all the things that we have spent massive numbers of hours and months and years talking about, economically, politically, spiritually on some occasions, etc., preparation. Maybe from the standpoint of preparation, we've made a difference in some people's lives. What difference have we made around the nation? Am I going deaf, dumb, and blind? How do you see all this?
I've talked a lot about this, and it bothers me because, I always figured if it built something great, look, the Brits, with the help of the Irish, built the RMS Titanic, ship of the day. And it was the talk of the world. When somebody mentioned Titanic, maiden voyage, it captured everybody's imagination, and all the rich fat cats of the world were on that damn boat that day. Well, but I figured if you build it, they will come, kind of like stealing from Field of Dreams. And I figured, put the candle in the window, keep the light burning, people will come home. But it, as it turns out, these people they're waylaid, they're propagandized, they don't have good leadership, or at least leadership that has the ability to look them straight in the eye and tell them the honest to God's truth. If we had that, of all of our Congress critters, our Senate and our congressmen, our state legislators, our state senators, if they were really responsive to the Constitution and the people supposedly they're serving, we would be the most popular network on the face of this planet. Because we've spoken about those constitutional issues, this being a republic, not being a democracy, and gone into exhaustive detail, as you pointed out. But we have been here, and I got to thinking about this, Jeff, the amount of talk show hosts and the guests that have come through this network, the amount of information that this network has put out in, 14 and a half years, is literally astounding. And I think what happens, not only with myself, but host, you've been on this network, I think, twice before. You're coming back, and I'm very appreciative of this. But we kind of have this idea in our heads that, it's just the same stuff every day. Okay, what do I report on today? But what I think we're not seeing is the American people politically waking up. You saw the reaction with Ron Paul. I mean, literally, Jeff, he was a rock star at the universities. He got to young people. You didn't have the snowflakes out there yammering and asking for his head on a platter.
Right.
Then you had Donald Trump that beat back "It Takes the Village" idiot Hillary Clinton. But that's the political, you're seeing the wants and the needs of the people, but it's still not being met, mind you, constitutionally. But they're politically waking up. Now, do they know that vaccines aren't good for their babies? Do they know about the autism rates? Do they know about stuff that's in their foods, the glyphosates? Do they know all of this? Not if they're plugged into the matrix. But more and more people, Jeff, are losing faith in that. And one by one, it's not a flood. It's not like a migrant flood busting the gates. Yeah. It's been slow, but it has been a steady drumbeat all of these years. We have helped a lot of people. A lot of people.
Yeah, I know. By the way, in regards to the Titanic, you know that there is a Titanic 2 that is getting ready to launch very soon. But in relation to the first Titanic, the rich fat cats, the bankers, the financiers that were on board that ship, are you aware of the fact that every one of them was against the founding of the Federal Reserve?
Yep. Now, isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
That you take the people with the best invested interest in that, all of a sudden they're just out there bobbing like corks in the water.
Oh boy!
You know, that's not a point that's brought up. I knew that, but that's not a point that's brought up very often. And you're exactly right. Because when did the boat sink? What year was that? 1912?
12, yeah.
And roughly
a year later is when when Woody Wilson, caved into the boys meeting off Jekyll Island and signed our life away, economically speaking.
Well, and they were aware of the new banking regulations. They were called regulations. We have to regulate because these banks are just too all over the place, and we got to have a centrist approach, and we can control things better. We can stabilize. That was supposedly the mission, Jeff, of the Federal Reserve, to give us a stable economy.
You know, it's interesting you bring that up, because last time, you know, I just was trying to calculate when the music was playing. I think that when I had the program, which I was actually filling in on your second hour, and we did this for about 6 months, and we picked up a few sales here and there, but it wasn't... We weren't reaching the people. Things have changed a lot. And next week when I join on and do the program on Tuesday and Thursday, we're going to talk a little bit more about some of the changes that are taking place within the metals industry. I was just reading a piece for the third time in 4 days about, you know, how Goldman Sachs had this conniver working for them that was manipulating gold and silver and everything else, and they claimed and had never known a thing about it, and which is garbage, because GATA has been trying to prove this for years, and that this stuff has been going on. But we're going to talk next week about some metals and minimums and maximums and some of the things that we're going to be able to do for folks. But I think it's been about 9 months since I left. We met 6 months, and it just wasn't. It wasn't doing what we expected it to do, and I've got way too much going on in my life to waste the network's time, waste the listeners' time, if we're not going to be making a difference. And so I think it's been about 9 months since I left, and my God, you know, what's changed? We've got more people trying to beat down the borders. We've got interest rates since Trump. I don't care if you like the guy, don't like the guy. The biggest problem with Trump is that he is so far removed from what they're accustomed to sitting in the White House. They don't know how to deal with it, and that's why the media and the rest of the idiots in Congress can't stand him, and they're fighting him six ways to Sunday. Pray God Pelosi gets struck by lightning over the weekend, please. And I got to tell you, things have gotten worse. I don't know what it's going to take.
Well,
you know, we've still got some elections that 3.5 weeks later still have not been resolved because of fraud and the garbage that was going on. This is the worst I've ever seen. And as I commented on Facebook the other day, I spent most of my youth up until I got out at 17 and went in the military. I grew up in the suburbs of Chicago. I mean, that's the place where dead people were. It was born. Let's sign up dead people to vote.
Mm-hmm.
It's going on. It's bad, really bad.
Well, and I think this time around, and you and I have talked about this for a very long time, we have watched the suppression of gold and silver. Now, if we remember not too long ago, when the stock market, when you would see these gyrations in the stock market, you would see proportionally the price of gold and silver go up accordingly. Mm-hmm. When the economy was turning, there were precious metals. There was a shining example of this is where you can go in case everything goes to hell. If you're stocked up with enough gold and silver, that's going to maintain value. It's going to increase to offset rapid inflation, whatever, hyperinflation, whatever the case may be. And you and I have talked about this, 50 times. But this time around, I think what you're seeing is you're seeing a monumental shift in the economy. It's becoming apparent of what the stock market and the stock buybacks for the corporations were all about. All this bailout money, they were too big to fail. They were the nation's employers. We've got to keep them safe. No, in actuality, what should have happened after 2008, those that were too big to fail were the ones that were big enough to steal and get away with it. We've got to go through this cycle again, but it's starting to take the downturn now. And when that happens, this time around, I don't know if you're aware of this or not. I've been talking to quite a few people about California. This little puppy is going to go belly up sometime in March or April of next year. And they're going to be flat out bankrupt, period, gone. The retirement accounts out there, more and more people are finding out about their retirement accounts. They're finding the chinks in the armor that you weren't supposed to see before, but now it's going to be blatantly clear to just about everybody
out
there.
Oh, you're racist. You call them chinks in the armor. Come on, there's a lot of Chinese that live out there.
Yeah, my name, Ho Flung Po. What's your name?
I it's interesting. We talk about the bankruptcy. I remember 10 or 12 years ago, I was watching a number of things take place, and California was most definitely affected because their pension funds for former government employees and teachers and stuff like this started investing money in some real crazy places, and it went nuts. It was going, all of a sudden the market just tanked, and they literally wiped out their gains. Now, there's been a point in time this year, as an example, just earlier this week, I read a piece that talked about all the gains in the Dow or in the stock market on Wall Street for this year had been wiped out as of a week or so ago. Now, some of that's recovered, I guess, but it's a yo-yo. The other point I started to bring up earlier before my brain went off to left field was the whole Bitcoin thing. And, you know, when I was with you last year and late the year before, we had a lot of discussion about Bitcoin, the cryptocurrency thing, and oh my God, the people that were there's a lady we both know up in Idaho that would constantly call me, oh Jeff, you got to do this, you got to do that. I just smelled a rat with Bitcoin from the very beginning. Now, people who got in and doubled and quadrupled, maybe 10 times their money,
hooray from them,
get out.
Yeah.
But now we're seeing the whole thing going south. And for the longest time, I felt that Bitcoin was the next step in what we saw about the time that you and I met so many years ago. And that was when, you know, we used to get check guarantee cards from the banks. And you know, you'd whip that out at Walmart, and okay, they'd write your number down. That check was guaranteed that bank would pay whether you had money in the account or not. Except that they had a Visa or a MasterCard logo on them. And it wasn't too many years later that they decided the banks to turn those into debit cards. Well, they looked exactly the same, but now you had to have the money in the account or it would get declined. To me, it was moving more and more toward a cashless society, and that is what the whole cryptocurrency thing began to indicate to me.
Yeah.
This could be the final nail toward cashless, because now every stinking penny you spend, you go to McDonald's and get a $1 burger, and you can't use cash, but you've got to use crypto on a card. I mean, this is not a heck of a lot different than that other stuff that people were pushing a few years ago. The
one coin.
The gold thing.
I know what you're.
The multi-level marketing gold. Same thing. Yeah. And they used to say, oh, but look at all the privacy you've got dealing with this. I'm just blanking as to what that stuff was called. But look at all the privacy, because, you know, you're going to have all this gold, but it's going to be on a MasterCard. Wait a minute. Then where's the privacy?
Carrot bars.
Carrot bars.
Yeah.
And people fell for that. If you'd rather have the carrot, they'll ship it to you. Federal Express from Europe, you get to pay for it. But what was the value? I mean, I had a woman who purchased $60,000 worth of, the breakable bars. When I say breakable, it was like a business card, but they would break off into 51-gram pieces.
Yep.
If she'd have made the same exact purchase through what did you just call it? Carrot bars. If she'd have made the same exact purchase through Carrot Bar International, she would have spent $28,000 more.
Well,
so what was the real value of the gold?
The real selling point of Carrot Bars was at least it was gold based, and we all knew that one day gold was going to go up. And that was really not pushed out front as the main thrust of Carrot Bars, but it was dealing with gold. And when I looked at this, and I thought it was a good idea, until I started getting into this, and I started to see the price of the gold that they were charging.
Oh, yeah.
And we were in grams instead of quarter ounces, you know.
Right.
And I was like, okay. But your point here, we kind of went past the cryptocurrency things. Here again, and you're right, and you know what? Thank you for bringing that up, because I never saw this as being a booster for the cashless society, but you're exactly right. When Bitcoin came around, and people, you got to go Bitcoin, it's the only thing that's – but based on what? What is the value of Bitcoin based on? The amount of people that have it, the amount of people that are buying that keep driving the price up?
Mm-hmm.
What happens when that base erodes somewhat? Well, what did we see last week? We saw Bitcoin lose 20% of its value just like that.
But that value is considerably less than it had been a year ago.
That is,
so yep. I don't even know where Bitcoin sits right now. The last time I was aware of it was down to $6,000 from 19 or something like that. I don't even know where it is today. But, I mean, that's some pretty hefty loss. I had a client who sold off a lot of his silver to me. I think 2,500 ounces. That's 5 boxes of 1 ounce silver pieces.
What?
And he put the whole thing into Bitcoin.
Oh, my God.
And now, at least with silver, he'd have been sitting somewhat even.
Yeah.
How far in the hole is he now?
What's silver right now? $16 silver?
No. Well, I mean, you'd probably have to pay $16-$17 an ounce if you're buying Eagle. Silver right now, it closed down 14 cents in the after hours. That means Hong Kong at $14.15 an ounce. An Eagle right now probably run you $3.15 over spot for a 1 ounce gold Eagle or silver Eagle if you're buying a full box of 500. That's just some rough figures.
Well, and I understood, and nobody could really get their minds wrapped around this, that where is the intrinsic value? Where is the base at which this stuff is attached? And I looked at Bitcoin being very similar to United States federal fiat currency. That, you know, here's what you're given. This is what you got to work with. Okay, great. But what is it based on? And again, you know, we've had this conversation numerous times, but until such time, and I'm hoping, I was talking to Mark Anderson last hour, I'm hoping if Donald Trump really is going to want to be president in 2020, he's sent the DOJ over to JP Morgan Chase door. They've been knocking, and they're going, we need to ask you a few questions about you manipulating the silver markets.
Yeah,
I have no doubt that Donald Trump knows the fiat game, and I'm looking, gosh, help me here, I'm looking at 2020 and his second presidency of going after that Federal Reserve and returning us a currency that's sound and that we can manage for ourselves. Jeff Bennett is my guest. I've got callers online. Let me take the 3-minute. We'll be right back.
Media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, no child left behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Perfect song for a Friday. Oh, yeah. Dr. Kelly in Northern California. I take it you didn't get burned out.
Not this time, because Grandma said, if you see smoke, honey, go jump in the lake.
What's on your mind, Dr. Kelly?
Well, I have here in my hand a coin from 1922, and it says across the top, Liberty, and across the bottom third, it says, In God We Trust.
Mm.
And on the back side, it says, United States of America.
Mm.
And $1. And then it says the word peace right underneath the big, beautiful bird on the back.
Mm.
I think that's real money.
Well, it is. They're interesting coins because they obviously replaced the Morgan dollar, as you know. It was called the Peace Dollar, but they didn't release it until like 1922, which is interesting. It was designed to pay homage to the end of World War One, which ended in what, 1918. Yeah. So they were kind of lagging on that one, but it's okay. It was always an interesting piece. I love the back of that coin. I love that eagle. It was a perched eagle. It was sitting on a branch. It wasn't spread eagle like some of the other coins. The front of the coin always bothered me. It looked like they just stuck a headdress or a crown on the Statue of Liberty, a young version thereof. It was the very first coins that I ever purchased, and I've told this story, Dr. Kelly, many, many times. When I was 10 years of age, I used to sit in a bank vault with my grandfather in the summers going through, this is 1958, where we could still legally spend that money. A dollar bill would buy a $1 peace dollar. They had not taken that away from us, and we would put together rolls of dated rolls, 1922, 23, etc., going through bags in a bank vault. And I finally asked him, I said, Gramps, why are we doing this? He said, because someday they're going to do the same thing to the silver in our money that SOB Roosevelt did with the gold. And 6 years later, he was absolutely right.
Boom. There it is.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting stuff.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for giving that up, too. And then when I look at what used to be my favorite was the $2 bill. Now, on Series 1976, it's got this fraudulent Federal Reserve Bank of Atlanta. Yes. This note is legal tender for all debts, public and private.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Lawful currency or specie.
Yeah. Yeah.
So thank you for your work, and have a good show.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it. Art, he's still off the grid. I guess he's never going to get back on the grid. Hello, Art.
Hey, no, I refuse. I've always been one of those that likes to, if I'm going to call in, speak to, kind of stay on topic. And so now that you brought this Bitcoin topic up, something I've been kind of wondering, personally, I think it's a waste because it's not backed up by anything tangible, at least nothing I consider to be tangible. But beyond that, there's a fellow by the name of Tika Tiwari who's predicted that Bitcoin would be over over 40,000 by the end of the year, which I find a little over the top.
I'm sorry.
John mentioned, we saw Bitcoin take that tank last week. And what I'm wondering was, because there's a lot of people talking about maybe Bitcoin is about ready to take a dive, but that doesn't make any sense to me, because if there was really any fears that Bitcoin was really going to take anything even resembling a real dive, we wouldn't be hearing about banks installing Bitcoin stations, would we?
Jeff, you want to take
that?
No,
I agree with that. And this is what's bothered me about people like Jamie Dimon over at Morgan the Pirate Bank, Morgan the Pirate Chase Bank, whatever. It's always bothered me that they would come out and they were against it and against it. And little by little, you could see them beginning to soften their position as if they had seen the light. I think they were the ones that were turning the switch on and off personally.
Yeah.
And I still don't have a full understanding, because I have enough understanding that I suppose it could be dangerous, but my God, it's like everything else, John. Everybody jumps on the bandwagon when it finally hits $11,000 and $12,000 and $14,000. Then they're buying. They're not buying silver at $14 an ounce. They're not buying gold at $1,200 an ounce. Oh no, they'll wait till it hits $1,700, $1,800 or whatever. Then they'll be throwing every dime they can into it, and then it's going to go up another $200-$300, and it's going to come down the way it did last time. That's the way it always works. Same thing with Bitcoin.
Yeah.
How many people were out there buying? Oh my God, look at this. Look at the money we could have made.
Yeah.
Honey, we're going to borrow against our 401k. Oh, oops, big God. Mistake.
Second more, you get you on my house for Bitcoin. Yeah. Hey, Art, I've got to run. Thanks for your call, Fred, Mark, and others. You'll have an opportunity. Got to take this break. Jeff Bennett is with us. He's coming up back on the network. He doesn't have a name for the show yet. On Tuesdays and Thursdays, 2 to 3 p.m. Central Standard Time.
You're tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com, educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer, for me to you personally, a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer, for me to you personally, a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to aroutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Back. Fred in Michigan. Hello, Fred. Hello, Fred.
Hey, John.
Holy mackerel. Whew. I don't have any ears left. Jeff, you're going to have to interpret for me.
We'll manage. Hi, Fred. How are you?
I'm sorry. Before I get to my rare earth, my precious rare earth metals questions, Mr. Bennett,
yes, sir.
Are you related to a William Bennett? Of Roman Catholic Vatican, PNAC?
No, the answer is no. I actually, my name was changed when I was a kid. My parents divorced, and my grandfather conned my mother into changing our name, blah, 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 blah. So, no, absolutely none.
All right.
It was actually Oberstein before, right, Jeff?
No, it was Beneventi.
You know, Beneventi's got a magical ring to it.
I hope that's in a good way. But hey, it is what it is. You
it
know?
Is.
Yeah. No, I mean that very complimentary.
Thank you.
Okay. I've learned in the past about junk silver, silver bullion, and of course silver eagles. Mm-hmm. My dad did have a silver eagle collection that mysteriously disappeared. So I'm wondering, is it a good idea to be in possession of all three And other question is, the U.S. Mint, who owns the U.S. Mint?
Well, to the best of my knowledge, our government still owns the U.S. Mint. Unfortunately, it's just another con game, because we signed over the rights of our entire economic management, in effect, to the Federal Reserve, which at the time was owned by about 12 different international corporations and or banks, as it were. I can't think of the exact names right now. I've got all that information here. I've had a very long 2 weeks, and I've gotten by with very little sleep, so I apologize tonight. But you know, in effect, the U.S. Mint, you know, by law, must buy gold and silver that is mined in this country to produce the products that they produce. And of course, now that's always platinum as well. But how much platinum do we possibly mint here? Well, I don't think we do very much. It's gold and silver predominantly. But when it comes down to the printing of that phony paper money, you know, that's, you know, basically the Federal Reserve calls us and says, okay, we need X. So we print it, and they pay us 1 cent for every piece of paper we print.
Yeah.
Whoopie-doo.
Yeah. Do you have anything else, Fred?
Yeah. Right. So you have gold, silver bullion or bars, silver bars versus silver eagles. And then, of course, there's the junk silver. And so I'm wondering from Mr. Bennett, is one preferable over the other, or do they all have their distinct?
I wished I had a silver coin for every time that question was asked.
No, but it's a fair enough one, Fred. Yeah. And I think that, you know, look, there was a time years ago, and some people are going to disagree with me on this. There was a time years ago where junk silver was such a great way to go. And there are occasional times I say buy it because it's so dirt cheap. I literally was able to sell about 5 months ago junk silver for less than its spot value. And that's a marvelous bargain. Here's the problem. Where are you going to find someone else that's going to understand the silver value of a dime, a quarter, a half dollar, or even a silver dollar? That's part of the problem today. Look at this whole society we live in. You walk into a 7-Eleven and try to change a few half dollars for a tank full of gas. Oh, no. This one is worn down. It's not so much silver content. I cannot pay you this much money for this. And therefore, you know, when we start looking at, you know, pure 1 ounce pieces, it becomes a little cleaner to trade with those. To me, I don't own any silver eagles. I won't pay the premium for them, but there's reasons people seem to think that's what they want. Not when I can save about $800 for every 500 ounces I buy by buying a 1 ounce privately minted recognized silver bullion round. We cannot call it a dollar because they are privately minted. I generally deal with 1 ounce silver rounds that have been minted. In one particular case, they've been minting the same exact design since 1983 for one of our suppliers. It's very well known. I get other people that want to buy pure quarter and half ounce and sometimes even 10th ounce silver rounds. They're available, but your cost per ounce really starts to climb.
Well,
I just say, but the negative with bars, where do you slice the bar to do a barter and trade with?
Well, and that's that, Jeff, you're exactly right. And I ran into that when I had to sell off my silver. I had mostly silver rounds, and people would ask me, well, what should I buy? I said, well, it depends on what you're after. If you just want the quantity and you want it struck in a recognizable and weighted format, and again, the recognizable privately minted coins that are out there, that is one issue. Now, are those for circulation? No. They're as soft as refrigerated butter, and they wouldn't last too long in circulation. This is why in the circulated or numismatic coin, it had other ingredients in there for wearability. I mean, that's the bottom line to that. People still want to buy junk silver, and you're right for bringing that up, Jeff. You can't take, you know, two Kennedy pre-64 halves, walk into a gas station and say, hey, I want a tank of gas. They just look at you and go, what? No, you owe me so much.
I mean, you're still going to find some, but let's face it. When we were growing up, I mean, I remember growing up in Wisconsin, which is where my grandfather and I would go to this bank. It was in McQuantico's bank, the Citizens Bank of McQuantico. And that's where we would buy these rolls of Morgan dollars. I mean, we'd pay $1 for every silver dollar we bought. And, you know, I was a young kid, but I worked. I used to shovel snow. I'd cut grass for people. I'd do weeding. I'd babysit their kids for a couple hours.
You're from Wisconsin?
Yeah.
Do you know a little town up in Wisconsin called Cudahy?
I've heard of it.
That's where my mother was born. You're the closest one I've ever gotten to. Yeah, I think I've heard that. I think I've heard that name before. I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, but the interesting thing is that, you know, we would buy gas at a family-owned filling station, we used to call them. And it was owned by the Chapmans. And the old guy whose name was Chappie. And, you know, he would take silver and gold. I could go down to the IGA grocery store and you know, buy eggs or a popsicle and a soda. I'd take all my the Coke bottles and RC Cola bottles in there to get the 2 cent refund. That's you want to talk about recycling? Stop with this plastic crap. Let's go back and let the kids make a couple of shekels.
Jeff, I'm going to tell on myself here. I used to get down to the Knights of Columbus, hop the fence, and steal the empty cases of Pepsi and Coke and take it down to the local grocer. Oh, my God.
I'll tell you, Fred, if you're still with us, there's one quick story, actually two, but I'm only going to share one with you. I had a guy years ago bought 100-ounce silver bars from me, and this is almost 30 years ago. And he kind of lived out in the country. So, well, how am I going to hide these things? I said, look, get yourself an old knee sock or a fairly long sock. Stick the 100-ounce bars in the sock. You know, he lives in the country. He's got screen doors, the whole. I said, stick it. Use it for a doorstop. And that's and so about 5-6 years later, he called me. He says, Jeff, I don't know what to do. I've been robbed. I said, what do you mean you've been robbed? All my 100-ounce bars have disappeared. I said, wait a minute. I said, John, just slow up for a second. When you bought those from me, what did I tell you to do? And he sat there probably, you know, rubbing his chin, picking his nose, and he happened to turn around and looked down, and guess what? He was still using his silver bars, his doorstops, and forgot all about
my
it.
My God.
Yeah, funny stuff. Wow. Funny stuff.
Well, and, you know, if somebody broke into your house, would they be looking to steal your paperweights?
Doorstops?
No. Right. It was so good of a ruse, he even forgot about it.
Yeah, well, it was.
Let me go to Mark in Florida. Hello, Mark. Hello,
hey,
Mark.
Thanks for letting me in, John.
Yes, sir.
And Jeff, I would recommend you download and read, and you can find it for free if you do a search on archive.org, the book From Sovereign to Serf, S-E-R-F, From Sovereign to Serf.
I know the book only too well. I was the publisher of that book at one time.
No. Great. Cool. I like that. for the lady that called in about the 1922 coin, when the words are written in all capital letters and on the back side it says peace, which simply means nothing more than ceasefire, and the United States is in all caps, which is a dead entity, and God We Trust is in all caps, which is a dead entity. And the year it was made, you have to think it's after 1861, and actually after 1789. I think the Articles of Confederation was a republic, and once we left that, we lost our republic.
And
but as far as gold and silver, I like a silver shot, and I don't know why. I'm thinking I can pound it with a 1 gram sign on it or something. Because the premium for 1/10 is so high that
it's outrageous.
I like the shot, and I think I can at least clean my water with it.
Yeah. Well, and again, you know, Jeff, you know, we used to talk about this. When Chapman and Robbie and myself, or you and Chapman and myself, used to do the Tres Amigos show, we would talk about gold and silver and what it should be valued at current market price. It has been suppressed. And the change that took place here was that it's now on par with a commodity. You're looking at oil prices. It was banging $60. It was hitting 70. They were speculating, hey, it might go to 100. Well, it's around $50 a barrel. But if you take a look at the market, well, the market is not doing well. Wall Street, Dow, NASDAQ, okay. What has happened to the price of oil? Well, it's dropped. Well, what has happened to the price of gold and silver? Well, it's dropped. You know, that commodity has dropped. It is if they're erasing 5,000 years of history of what people used to trade in and what they used. Didn't matter what century or what millennia it was. It was always a value, a stored value that kept its value. Gold and silver coin, gold and silver coin, gold and silver coin. Now they've got us believing that, well, this is just a commodity and it's going to be subject to how the markets are doing. Well, yeah, based on that, yeah. But that's their perspective and that's what they've been pushing. And I'm not even going to get into the issue of what gold and silver is going to be in the future, but once these controls are gone and once all the money and true money, gold and silver, the countries have been socking away, China's been doing it, Russia's been doing it, they've been buying gold hand over fist. They know what's coming. They know where the store of wealth is going to be, and they understand where they're going to be positioned in a state of liquidity. When it comes push to shove, forget about this paper crap floating around. That's going to be gone.
See, the points you bring up, you know, China, Russia. I mean, China's been a huge buyer of gold for years. I am absolutely convinced, and I have been for many, many years, that these are the real reasons that the so-called value, if that's what you want to call it, has been suppressed, because they've got to make sure that all their friends are able to buy every damn bit that they possibly can at an exceedingly fair price. It's constant manipulation.
Yeah.
And some of these issues I'm going to begin to cover next week.
Good.
We're going to be doing a 1-hour program at, I'm blanking. It's 1 p.m.
Central time, correct? Two to 3 p.m. All Central right. Standard time. You're going to be right there for Mike Rivero.
Yep. And I've got, I probably got enough stuff I'm sitting on. I've got enough to do about 4 weeks right now without ever opening anything else. But we're going to try to narrow it down to a few pieces. I don't want to get so regimental that all we're doing is giving history. But that's one of the very focal points we're going to concentrate on the first week, is the fact that in time throughout history, everything ultimately reverts back to gold.
Yep.
But you see, there's part of our problem. What are we paying for gold? What's spot gold? Spot gold is what we pay for an ounce of gold on paper at Wall Street. It's for making a very large purchase. There's no guarantee that there's even any gold there to back it up. It's paper purchase. Unless you are out there buying, you know, 400, 800 ounces at a time, in a large bar form, a kilogram, et cetera, you know, you're not going to be getting the best prices. To answer the thing that Mark brought up, he was talking about taking the shot and snapping something of his own. That works to a point if he can find a market that will trust him and accept the purity of what he's doing, or is he taking lead BBs and smashing them out and try to do the same thing? I'm not saying he would, but those are some of the reality factors by being able to acquire a product in a recognized format. Gee, I'm sorry that 10-ounce silver prices, you know, silver coins come at a higher price. Go buy gold American Eagles. A 1 ounce, a half ounce has got a higher premium. So 2 half ounces are going to cost you more than a 1 ounce.
Right.
Same thing with a quarter and a tenth. But the biggest plus you have is you, the holder of it, maintain a certain degree of control with that. I don't want to be trading a 1 ounce gold piece when all I need is the equivalent of, you know, two and a half 10th-ounce pieces. I'd rather take a little bit of a loss on a trade, or, hey, throw in a tank of gas with that, or, you know, whatever the case may happen to be. So these are some of the things we're going to try to talk about. Don't stop getting so hung up about what spot gold is, because in the long haul, it's got meaning, but it's also meaningless. That's a tough one for people to understand.
I understood that completely.
Yeah.
Mark in Georgia. Hello, Mark.
I guess you've been waiting to hear from them that my sister talking to you.
Okay, next, Mark.
Yeah, next Wednesday.
Mark, yes. Hold on here. Yes. You got the crappy cell connection again.
Oh, actually, I'm at home, and I'm just talking on my phone.
Okay.
My sister deposited the inheritance check, and we're in the middle of a seven-day business day hold. So next Wednesday, this coming Wednesday, the funds will be available. I'm looking forward to getting that front site thing. And I've already reserved my website is going to be doyoulovetruth.org. And one thing I'm going to address.
And Jeff, and
I met a judge today.
This is the guy that's sending. This is the guy that is getting a settlement here, and he's sending over a healthy donation to the network. Isn't that right, Mark?
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
But let me ask you this. Do you do when you deal with a judge who basically tells you the rules of the court won't allow me to go on record about anything that where the government's like this arrogant fool that says things that just aren't true, does things that are not based on legitimate authority, and then they set up rules of the court where if you say any of these things, like the unlawful changes to the Constitution or how fine fees and penalties are basically where the government sponsors and endorses the fraud of counterfeiting under the color of law, you can get locked up. You know, well, you're entitled to your opinion. Yes, and unfortunately, I didn't actually say it, but yes, but if in your opinion I don't respect your man-made rules that basically where the government persists in a state of willful ignorance by refusing to acknowledge they lied to us, and the official account of history is one outrageous lie after another, that I could get locked up for doing nothing more than telling the truth, just like Lincoln locked up people like me generations ago for telling the truth that there was no rebellion, right?
Right.
So anyway, I pled not guilty, and he said, you better consult with an attorney about what you can and cannot say.
Well, wait. Mark, let me get a little bit more specific here. Why were you in front of this judge, and why did this conversation come about?
Well, I want to let you know the inheritance is coming, and two, because we've all been looking forward to that, and I had my arraignment today for a speeding charge where this revenue ranger claimed I was driving 81 miles an hour, which is absolutely absurd. And I'm like, I know what 81 looks like, and that wasn't it. And, you know, I want to explain to him, I've had where this revenue ranger, when I told him I wasn't going that fast, he said, tell it to the judge. I tried to tell it to the judge, and he threatened to lock me up for contempt of court. And what I have contempt for is the idea that a judge can lock somebody up for telling the truth. I have contempt for a bunch of legalistic man-made rules.
Okay, but Mark, you gotta understand and respect the court's wishes. They are hang on here a second. Let me finish that statement out. When the judge is there, he is not in the capacity of constitutional. He's not going to listen to your argument of which was violated and which. You said it. It was the revenue trooper that was out there, the Keystone Corporate Coffer Cops. They work for the state, and we all understand and agree on that. But they're limited in their scope. They are municipal judges. They're judges of this. They're not judges of the law, and they're not going to sit there and hear your argument. They cannot hear the argument on constitutional issues. They just can't. And some judges will tell you that rather than give you a bunch of crap and threaten you, throw you in jail for being a bad guy in his courtroom.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, well, that's why I'm going to talk with the I was told it for misdemeanors. This is a misdemeanor that
this is nothing, but it's a good wedge. I mean, if you want to spend the time to cause problems for this judge, I guess you can. But the only thing you're going to do, that you're going to do here is prove that he's running a maritime show with a gold fringe flag, and that's it. You know, it's not going to change that judge, and it's not going to change the next guy that walks into that courtroom. It's just not.
Yeah.
Until the system itself is changed.
And that's the problem, is it? And I think we're on the same page that the system is not just ignorant, it's willfully ignorant. And Phil Gingrey, the carpetbagger who claimed to have been representing me, he never disclosed any evidence that Bin Laden caused 9/11. Huh. And so by default, he's admitted he's a traitor and a liar.
Well,
now, is the government going to do anything to prosecute that scumbag? No, they're giving him a pension for
Not any more than they're going to dig up John McCain for lying to the public and being the all-star neocon.
Oh,
yeah, but John McCain's father's not going to let him go. He's down there playing cards with Satan right now.
Oh, there you go.
Hey,
Mark, we're...
I want to know what the one last thing. Yeah. I'm going to segue to this one brief thing. Once I get the money, I'm going to want to see about getting some real money. And silver's probably a better investment than gold these days, right?
That's been my opinion. I mean, look, there's an old saying that you buy gold to hold and silver to sell. Silver is not only going to be more interchangeable for smaller purchases, it is where the profit is typically made, if you want to talk about paper gains or whatever the case may be. But also there's a story that goes along with that very quickly, Mark, and that is that best story I can tell is after Hurricane Katrina, a client I had not heard from in many years contacted me and said, Jeff, during Katrina, we were told we had to leave. We grabbed our gold. We took the family, went to live with my sister for a few months, and we came back. Our silver was gone. Well, first of all, he had 100-ounce bars. And wow. There's no doubt they got stolen. And, the gendarmes and maybe some of the monkeys that got bussed out here to Arizona put their filthy hands on them. But whatever the case may be. Gold is something you can travel with. You can put vast amounts of gold in pockets and a little bit here and there and carry tens of thousands of dollars with you. You try to do the same thing with silver, you're going down with a boat and much, much heavier. But silver, I believe that silver will ultimately, from a personal standpoint, I have always made more money with silver. If you're looking at it from that standpoint, but be happy to talk with you. Once you get set and ready to go,
Mark,
and
I got to run. I got to close this program out. Thanks for your call.
I got you.
And
I'll let you know. And I'm looking forward to talking with you again. And
right.
I guess the thing is, I got to play Monty Hall with these idiots and see if they'll. I don't know. Like I say, it's just one of those things. I'm just kind of disgusted with the whole.
No, I got you, Mark. I really have to run, my friend.
Bye.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate it. Jeff, you don't know the name of the show?
Actually, I was teasing Michael before we came on. I said I was seriously thinking of calling it Goldfinger, and we could open up the Shirley Bassey band.
And the only thing that I thought of when I thought of Goldfinger was a gold-gloved hand with the middle finger up. And I'm like,
I would do that.
No. At any rate, folks, easing Jeff back in. Just a store of wealth. I mean, the stories that he tells and just the background. Well-rounded individual. He's been doing this. I was thinking about you today and how many years I've known you, and it's been more than 25 years. I hope you realize.
We basically met on the air in 95, okay? I had been with the Cheese Company beginning in 1990. That was that company out in Scottsdale that used to... abuse the Bible by quoting chapter and verse, and gold and silver are mentioned in the Bible this many times, but the dollar's never mentioned. That's the money of Satan. Turn in all your money for biblical wealth. I got great stories to tell about that place, but why waste our time?
At any rate, we are out of time on this Friday, folks. We will see you next month. That sounds like a long way away. It's not. Jeff Bennett will be on Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Tuesday and Thursdays.
Mark Anderson, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. It's going to be well worth a visit to spend that hour Monday through Friday, and the course at a Central Standard Time, 2 to 3 p.m.
Looking forward to it.
All right, Jeff, so am I. It's good to hear your voice. It's good to hear your voice, and I can tell the audience recognized your voice and is going to welcome you back.
That's cool. I'm looking forward to it.
I am as well. All right, folks.
See you all in.
Thanks for being here today. Be back with you next month or Monday, whichever comes first. Thanks for being here today. This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $400? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsite.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell five.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.